Welcome to Closer to Venus. I'm Johnny Burke, and today's guest is Sarah Shepherd. She is an experiential mystic, a nervous system expert, and founder of a tech company called Karma Well Health. She uses ancient and modern technology to map and curate physical and spiritual awakening health programs. Today, we'll talk about Sarah's work as a gene keys guide, as well as an experiential healing process known as the Venus Sequence. Sarah, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor.
Excellent. Lots of really, really cool stuff here. Gene Keys Guide, Venus Sequence. Obviously, that's of interest to us. So let's start off with this. What is an experiential mystic?
I love this as a question because it really challenges me to ask myself this question on a regular basis. And I feel like it's an evolution. As the world is evolving, I'm also evolving, and that is the experience. And what I've come to understand through the course of my life is that I would say we're all dormant mystics that are coming into a recognition of the capacity of our bodies to inhabit more of our divine essence or our divine illuminated capacity. And mystics of age, the ones of lore that we know of, did these big transformative healing elements of that were logged by people as magical. Those actually happen, I think, more often than we recognize. And when I've had experiences where I was infused with a divine essence that was beyond my capacity for my mind to understand what was going on, I came out of those experiences very, very curious about the anatomy of what was going on in my body. And so because my background has so much to do with helping people physically, I went down the pathway of studying, how do we repeat this? How do we create this opening for one another? And what's actually happening? It's really not as complicated as we've come to believe it is. It's more of a slowing down and attending to what really makes a beautiful life. And then experiential mysticism happens. That happens probably more often than you realize it does. An example that I love to use for people is if you've ever been to a rock concert and everybody's singing simultaneously. And then so like our hearts kind of merge together and there's this opening and you feel this great collective unity that is so beyond you. And that becomes this like, oh, that's what I show up for, is that feeling of like plugging into the greatness of humanity coming together. So I curate and help people kind of understand that this is possible, but you don't need me to do it. It's happening all the time. And there's many opportunities all over the world. And so I feel like humanity is starting to move in that direction now.
We hope so. And I think what you just described as in the rock concert example is a 5D moment. That makes any sense. Yeah. I can't remember the player's name, but recently one of the Buffalo Bills, I believe it was either a safety or a cornerback, was injured. And we experienced as a nation or even a world, people all praying for his recovery because it's pretty serious and pretty scary. And one of my guest speakers actually said that was a 5D moment. And I think also what you're talking about is that these things, the mysticism happens a lot more than we realize. I've also noticed that many of the mediums and intuitives that come onto the show, they tell me that it's not a gift. Everyone has it. It's a latent thing in all of us. It's just that in some, that skill or that ability is a little bit closer to the surface.
There's support for you in a way that you're able to help it land and make sense. And I think most of our culture is like, that's not possible. You can't do that. Like, we've been told for such a long period of time through our cultural milieu of like, you're not special. As kids, it's like, stop making a big fuss about whatever you experienced of a unicorn or a rainbow bridge or these things. I really am coming to the space of like, humanity is so much more gifted than we're ever led to believe that we're capable of.
And this always triggers a certain question, because whenever a mystic or an intuitive comes onto the show, some of them do have past life memories and will go as far as to say thousands and thousands of years ago, all of these, what we call intuitive skills, were commonplace. Everyone had them. Yeah. Speaking of which, would you fall into the category of a medium or more of an empath, or do you kind of avoid those kind of labels?
Yeah, I do avoid labels, but I'm fortunate to work with so many people. It can be really painful to be an empathic person without understanding how to navigate your nervous system and self-parent and understand kind of the best way to be healthy within that. What I have found when I spend time with much of my advanced spiritual community of people, I have all of them. And it's really kind of this discovery. They'll be channeling something and I'm like, oh yeah. Are you getting this too? Are you also getting and noticing this? And then we kind of get to do it together. But I don't spontaneously channel anything. Like some people really have a relationship with channeling ascended masters. I almost always find that it comes to me sort of accidentally. And when I work with other people, I'm a bit of a tuning fork or a divining rod or a magnifying element for a lot of people. And so I kind of plug in often to what else is going on for other people. But it's not something that, like I said, it's a superpower that everybody has. And I really want people to understand that you're also capable of this. And the common word I hear right now often is people like, oh, I'm getting all these downloads. And it's this like trendy term, which a channel would say they're getting a download from consciousness. And that what I find is that we actually are getting downloads all the time. And they can be your imagination, you know, where we've been told that, oh no, you're just making that up. Sometimes we are being influenced by other elements of different consciousness and different dimensions. And that if you really get playful with that and you're really in a space of healthy frequency, then you can be in a really beautiful relationship with other layers of consciousness and be like the microphone for that and be the conscious communicator of the other side.
The other side. Speaking of which, because I've got lots of questions here, did you have experiences when you were younger with psychic phenomena, seeing spirits, that type of thing?
Yeah, I did. So my family of origin is from Ontario. I'm in Canada and I'm in British Columbia now in beautiful Vernon in the Okanagan. And when I was born, my father wanted to get me away from our Christian family, or they wanted to get me out of Ontario. There wasn't really a clear plan, but I didn't grow up with any of the Christian upbringing that my family did. And it's kind of been this interesting thing because my grandfather, for example, he was known for creating spontaneous healing for people. And he was a minister and he was a big society member that I never got to meet. He passed before I was born. In my childhood, I settled in an area which is primarily a First Nations territory in British Columbia. And there's been a lot of racism and disrest in the area that I grew up in. And we grew up specifically near an Indian burial site, is now, you know, we'd say First Nations. And I would spend a lot of time, because I love old things, I would spend a lot of time in that area. And it felt to me like I could live in an imaginary land where I could go to different dimensions and I could go to different, I called them stories. Like it was like I would go into other people's stories at the time. That was something that also was supported by the animals that I grew up with. So I grew up with like horses and we had a lot of farm animals around. And I would say that the animals really were that bridge that helped me kind of make sense of all of it. It was almost like they were a filtering element of all of what I was picking up on. And they created a field of safety. There's an electromagnetic field of a horse. Their heart is massive. And because of their nature, they have this real grounding and supportive energy to them. Going into working with people and healing, it was always quite obvious to me because I spent so much time working with animals and massaging my animals and communicating with my animals when I was younger. Nobody talks about these things. And then you want to fit in and you belong, so you bury it. In that time, there was a lot of drugs in the town that I grew up in. My family were partiers and my dad anyway was heavy into it. That led me on this exploration with a lot of hallucinogenics and a lot of other kind of drugs. But what I always found so disappointing about drugs is because I could never get the same expansive experience as I could in sobriety, in connection, and in nature. And I always felt like I was chasing for a connection with that, the chemistry of whatever had been imbibed in. And it never came close to my experience of consciousness or God or any of these other elements. I've worked with shamans, I've worked with a variety of other kind of influential compounds that are entheogenic. And for me, they don't even touch the level of experience that I have with a tree.
It's not the first time I've heard that about animals. And it sounds like what you're describing is that these animals are like energetic facilitators or connectors. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it is all energy. One of my speakers made a really good observation the other day, because she's teaching me about mediumship and all this really super, super cool stuff. And her comment was, we all need to basically unlearn what we've been taught. Yeah. So how did you become a Gene Keys guide? How did that happen?
All big epiphanies seem to come by accident when you're heading in one direction and then you get put onto another direction. I had been plotting out a book I was going to write about reincarnation because I had this experience. It's always such an interesting challenge to try to describe these things. When you go into a knowing field, the knowing field has so much information and it's like you come into a knowing. The analogy that they use in The Matrix of like downloading kung fu into you or how to fly a helicopter is very much like what it feels like to connect to the knowing field. I had this experience where I recognized the zodiacal clock that we use for astrology is like this input-output way of traveling into the dimension that is Earth. And that within a soul's schooling here in Earth, there's a bunch of lessons and they all have to do with a different zodiac. And so the theory for my book was that I'd start at Aquarius and you circle all the way around to Capricorn and every life would be a different element of the zodiac, but that would give you a different lesson, a different lens to look at the world through and give you different challenges. And at the end of the book, you realize that it's actually the same character that it has lived many different lives and all of the people that are the other supporting characters are all the same souls and you recognize that it's all one story in the end. And a friend of mine read to me my life's work, which is the gene key that is related to your sun sign. The story of my life's work was exactly that story, that you're this soul and you come in and out of this life experience and that you're really here to remember all of your lives and take all of that learning and bring it into a revelation that you will experience in this life. And I just kind of dropped everything. It was like, okay, clearly I am meant to move in the direction of this teacher, Richard Rudd, who is the founder of the Gene Keys.
Now, you had just mentioned past lives and reincarnation. Do you have past life memories of your own?
I have an interesting perspective on this because I have gone through a few regressions with hypnotherapists. I try to play with this in my consciousness because it is my life's work. I'm meant to be able to remember all of these things. That's not been my experience. There's not this recognition of that was this life and this happened. I know things most of the time that I don't know how I know them, but I have this deep knowing of it is this way, or this person is actually saying this, or we say that the path of this trajectory is going to go this way, and it's not. There's those elements that I don't know how I know the things that I know, and so I am just trusting that all of those elements will reveal themselves. In my hypnotic states, I go in between the lives. I always end up in the life between lives. And so if you've ever read any of the work about LBL stuff, that was such a relief when I learned about that element. And when I go into that life between lives state, to me feels like I can go there and I can find a tool that I need for whatever challenge I'm facing in working with somebody or something that's coming up in my life. I can go into that space and they'll be shown to me often these really simplistic elements of using meditation or consciousness in a contemplative way to shift the way that we see a problem. And then I come back and sure enough, miraculously, it works.
The life between lives space, it's coming up more and more for the people that come onto the show. And it's pretty amazing because even though the details will vary a little bit, the mechanics are almost identical. You go to this space, whether you remember a past life, and often the sequence seems to be you go through your death and you go to the in-between space and you make soul agreements with your soul family, which you had alluded to just a few moments ago, because they're all the same cast. It's like casting a play, casting a movie. Yep. It's a role. Do you find the same thing?
Yeah. And I also feel like this is a really empowering tool to look at for your life, is that you're the one that is playing the role of your life. You're not a victim of the circumstances or the people or the elements that, you know, feel unjust at times. When that happens, it's your job as the character of your life to decide how you would, in a heroic way that is meaningful to you, respond to it. That's really the soul's work. And that we have more people that are in alliance with us than we realize. And what's bizarre about that is they're often the people that are hardest the people that are the most triggering to us, like the closest relationships, the people that just drive you crazy, those are the souls that are most devoted to your evolution. And when you can reframe that and start to look at how is this irritation that's driving my body crazy really an opportunity for me to evolve? What is the belief that I'm so fixed on that I see in this character that will help me evolve? Learning the gene keys, the reason that I gravitated so much to it was I felt like I had all of these balloons with ribbons attached to them of consciousness and all of these ways of working with people. And what Richard Rudd's done through the process of bringing forward this teaching, which is human design, is he's given a tool for us to really navigate a path to stay with those triggers, to stay with the contemplation of why am I feeling what I'm feeling in my body? And what is it that my body is teaching me? Are we playing these roles for each other? We are. And that messaging that happens in our body where we're pissed off or we're turned on or we're inspired, that messaging system is like our soul speaking to us.
Very, very good point. These are the things that I've heard over and over again, where the details will vary, but the mechanics are almost identical, which is really amazing. And great job, by the way, explaining that. So the Venus sequence, what is that? And how is that related to the human design, or are they basically the same thing?
Yeah, I'll just assume that your listeners have never heard of the gene keys, and I'll give kind of a general introduction to what it is. The gene keys teaching is a transmission, and that's another word for a download. It's like consciousness comes into the awareness of somebody. That occurred for Richard Rudd in his 29th year. This is the time that we have a Saturn return, and so planets are affecting us. And for many people, and this happened to me, and I didn't know what it was until quite a bit later in my life, many people will have some level of awakening experience related to Saturn, wherever Saturn shows up in their chart. This can be a breakdown or a break open. And in many cases, the other ones that happen are like in our 40s. This is all a part of this awakening process. And what Richard Rudd's background was he was able to go to university for many, many years and study super obscure esoteric religious studies. And so he had a really beautiful map of consciousness already in his mind when this download came for him. He had been working with the I Ching, which is between 3 and 5,000 year old Book of Changes from China. The I Ching maps out, similar to the zodiac, a calendar wheel that changes every 6 days, roughly, to a new archetypical teacher. My grandmother was obsessed with I Ching, and I grew up with her throwing coins, and then my mom taught me how to throw coins, and it's this beautiful process of working with the oracle of the I Ching. When Richard Rudd met the founder of Human Design, the founder of Human Design had also had a transmission. His name is Ra Uru, and his original name was Robert Krakauer, who's a Canadian man who was living in Ibiza and was basically a feral hermit camped out in the 80s and had this awakening experience where this voice overtook his consciousness. There's so many cool stories of Ra's awakening experience, and he's a very dramatic person who's since passed. In this story of his awakening experience, this voice yelled at him for a 8-day period that there was a map to our aura. And the aura is this electromagnetic crystalline energy field that each of us emits from our biovehicle, from our body. And this auric field is a moving mandala of light that is interacting with the planets through what's called the neutrino stream. And neutrinos are light. It's star light from our star, the sun, as well as all of the other stars of the galaxy. And when that light hits various planets, it takes an imprint of energy from each of the planets. And all of this is raining down on us all the time, and our auric field is reading it. The other elements of the auric field that were mapped out in Human Design have to do with the dimensions of the Kabbalah, the astrology, like I mentioned. There's gates and channels that are like energetic conscious connectors within our auric field. And this is a really beautiful example of what happens when you meet somebody and you have chemistry and you like really like that person or you really dislike that person. Often these two auric fields are opening and closing these gates of consciousness that are related to the I Ching. It's also this biochemistry element of our wheels of energy, like our chakra system, as well as our auric field, are communicating with the energetic glandular system of our body, our endocrine system, as well as our electromagnetic nervous system. So we have this electrical nervous system that is receiving information from the auric field and responding to it. Richard Rudd put all of this together with his learning about the genome. The human genome has a code that is very similar, binary code that's very similar to the codons, these elements of the 64 archetypes. And those 64 archetypical teachers of the I Ching are opening and closing gates of consciousness, as well as turning on and off elements of our DNA. And that we have a lot more control over our expression of our DNA than we've ever been led to believe. When I went to grade 9 science, we learned cellular biology as the nucleus was the brain of the cell. We now know that it's more the membrane of the cell that is giving information to the cell, which is producing our DNA. That's because we're always building more elements of our body and breaking them down. And that's what amino acids are. So our cells are creating these amino acids that become the expression of your physical body. And you can create a stronger physical body by the environment that your body's in, or you can create a weaker physical body by the environment that your body's in. And so it's through this conceptual understanding that what we're marinating in is turning on our capacity for our frequencies to hold more light or turning it off. When you're pissed off or you're in a funk, you're in a frequency band. You're within a frequency band that is your reptilian nervous system being either reactive or repressive to the situation. But the trigger, that funk that you're in, is really a key that's trying to pull you into a higher level of interacting with your health, with the people that are involved in the situation, with your life. And if you stay in the, it's my way and everybody else is stupid, then your body marinates in this world that's, it's unsafe. And I don't see opportunities. I only see problems. And the, you know what's wrong with the world? Well, it's the system or it's the government or it's all of these things. You don't see solutions. When you take responsibility for the chemistry of the emotions in your body, when you take responsibility for, oh, I'm actually really irritated by my partner right now, that's not my partner's problem. That is something that's showing up in my chemistry for me to look at. It doesn't mean you need to change, but it's really that first step of allowing that to be an indicator for the direction of your evolution, for the direction of your awakening. And that allowing starts to create the opportunity for us to see a different element of it, accepting and embracing what's happening, that then triggers the body to move through a process of, I see solutions now. I see opportunities now. What a relief. I totally changed my perspective. And that is the felt sense of your experience, of your frequency moving out of your shadow band into your gifting band. And so the Gene Keys is a map for your awakening consciousness, where every element of your hero's journey has got a frequency band of a shadow, where you run an old pattern of your nervous system, where you're in a defense pattern, or a gifting frequency, which everybody has. It could be a musical savant. It could be the ability to discriminate fine art or flavors. We all have these different human giftings that are available to us. And the highest expression is called acidic expression. The highest element of the frequency band is the consciousness that we would associate with our soul, with love, with bliss, with the elements of what we call divine. And the more we move to our gifting frequency, the more we do our shadow work and greet these patterns within us, the more your body resonates at a higher frequency, the more your DNA holds more light, the more capacity you have to embody these higher elements of these higher frequencies. And the more you ultimately claim your embodied health, your embodied expression, the more you resonate with the frequency that your soul is. And so it really allows your soul to drive the ship instead of your old patterns, instead of your shut down way.
It seems to me that because there's so many components, it's pretty complicated. If someone were to inquire to work with you, do you have an elevator pitch to describe what is human design or what are the Gene Keys and why someone would want to work with you?
Yeah, that's a good one. The elevator pitch, I would say, is there's a path to living a beautiful and fulfilled life, mapping your shadows out and working with what does that mean in real life? And when you do that over a period of time, it's not a quick solution. This is a way of living your life where you really get to be in a relationship with all of the people that are triggering you in a different way. It's the fastest path to a beautiful life, to deep peace and deep fulfillment without chasing peace and fulfillment.
So as opposed to doing, let's say, a past life regression or working with a shaman, yep. This would be more of a direct route to get where you want to go.
Yeah, I work with shamans and I'm a Mesa carrier. And so I'm trained in Andean shamanism. And Andean shamanism is another lens that follows the same shadow dimension, middle world and higher world. That higher world is acidic frequencies. And when you work with a shaman, they will map out the elements of what is speaking to your energy field, your luminous energy field, that's creating a dissonance for you. So the gene keys is like a printout that comes from your hero's journey of this life. It's related to where you're born and where you're imprinted on the planet. You get this imprint from, and it's from the other planets. And so there's a map of how to awaken, which is your hologenetic profile.
Wow. Okay. And I believe there are 5 energy types.
Yeah.
Within the realm of human design. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And another question I had was, what kind of beings have you been in contact with? I believe you've had some contact with ascended masters, and maybe you can tell us a little bit about that also.
Yeah, so the 5 energy types that break people down into silos, which is not my favorite path to take with working with people in this, but one of the things that I find is it really helps people in a simplistic way sort of understand their nature and claim their nature. I think I could answer your question earlier better with, you know, what's your elevator pitch for the gene keys or human design? I would say it's how to fall in love with yourself. When we really start to recognize what we're not, and we let go of all of the things we're not, we stop chasing all of the things that we're not, or feeling like, oh, I'm not good enough because of whatever it is. The 5 energy types have a lot to do with the dynamics of masculine and feminine. There's a spectrum for the most yang to the most yin. And the 5 types are manifestors, manifesting generators, projectors, and reflectors. And reflectors are the most yin. The story of the different types was primarily much of humanity was manifesting generators and generators, with a small amount being the manifestor type. And they were the more kingly type, the people that were the alphas of society. And everybody else was kind of under their kind of control. There was a mutation that occurred in the 1700s. And there's this newer energy type, the softer energy type came into the world, which is projectors. Projectors are a different auric type than the other ones in that a manifestor's aura emits from them out their auric field. And it's illuminating and triggering to people. It creates both the opportunity to see what you've been unwilling to look at, as well as a path forward from it. The manifesting generator and generator type is the majority of our population. It's like 80% of our population is that generator type. They're the life force energy, and they actually hold and amplify the life force energy of the collective of humanity. They have a direct connection to the code of the earth, and they're generative in that nature of the earth is giving them this energy that they experience here. Manifestors, projectors, and reflectors, they don't have that connection. So they actually connect to the generator type to create a refinement in their energy. And so projectors are the coaches, the orchestrators, the type of people that have what's called a penetrating aura. So they go into and taste the flavors of another person's aura and help them understand how they could do it in a more easeful and more peaceful way. If you get to work with projectors, they have this really unique way of looking at the world. And it's this path of least resistance. Like, how do we create the highest path of fulfillment with the most easefulness and the most lubrication? There's only 1% of the world that are reflectors. Reflectors are highly open, highly sensitive beings that have a tendency to reflect back to the world the health of the collective. And so for most reflectors, they're in an unfortunate phase of being the barometer of how good are we doing as a collective. And if you've ever had the opportunity to meet a reflector, often they're not healthy. They're not well right now because they are a reflection of the dominant consciousness of society currently.
When you mention the reflector, I immediately thought of a medium that told me that they have to be very careful when they have contact with the other side because it can be draining. So can we assume the mystics are people that have elevated psychic abilities, mediumship abilities? Can they be any one of those five types, or are they predominantly reflectors or projectors or any of the five?
Yeah, they can be any one of those five types, and anybody can have an expression of intuition or mediumship. Buddy has this capacity. They have their unique gene keys expression, or their unique rave chart is what it's called in human design. The people that are reflectors, if they're healthy, I would say have the capacity to be really magnifying to those who are intuitive. They would be able to really like be a megaphone to intuition.
I'm curious to know, because I think in your bio that you did mention that you had some contact with ascended masters. So I'm trying to circle back to the connection, if there is one, with the unseen world. How does the non-physical world figure in your work? Because I know that you had some contact with ascended masters. Mm-hmm.
My experience is I feel led all of the time, and I suffer when I believe that I can think my way through life. When I surrender and allow the experience of life to carry me, the more I surrender, the more I experience ascended masters. But it's really all one energy. It's all this one frequency energy, this Christed consciousness. You could say is Jesus Christ, or you could say it's Christed consciousness. Those elements, yeah, I can feel it right now. So this is sort of what happens. It's like these shivers come through my body. I feel this warmth up against my back. I feel held by life. And then I experience this love and bliss feeling that often moves me to tears. And then within that, I go through this healing of the preciousness of life and the preciousness of my role in supporting people and the deep love and reverence I get to experience as an expression of another ascended master. I've come into this life for this journey where I get to be a voice and bring connection to people and bring cohesion to the beauty of life and the expression of all of us being able to come into this space of showing up for each other and to be of service to each other. And this profound peace of what it's all about comes into my life. It can feel like these energies at times are so stern and aggressive in this way that you get the beautiful moment of this amazing softness energy, or you can have these really stern masters that don't give a fuck about your feelings. You know, they don't care. And there's a strong message that comes through. So those elements, it can feel really, really intense. And then other times it'll feel like a tap on my shoulder and somebody whispers into my ear. And it's so clear that I'll turn and look. And there won't be anybody there. And so it's just this awareness of the veil is so close to us. It really is our own experience that is more focused on the illusion than the consciousness that's all around us.
The veil is close to us. This is something I hear a lot. In your experience, do you think the veil is getting thinner?
Yeah, I wonder about this because I have been finding that I can't drink alcohol or partake in like any sort of substances. If I don't eat well and nourish my body in a way, it's very clear that that is not in resonance with where we're going. And I don't know how I know these things, but a lot of the people that I work with, they say the veil is really thinning. Right now, we've got a Sagittarius full moon coming out. And so there's amplification to our intuitive somatic body whenever the moon is full. So there's these waxing and waning phases of our cosmos that are affecting our auric field. And so is it continuously getting thinner? Do we have these kind of peaks and valleys, these elements of the neutrino field raining more of different planetary consciousness? It seems that way. And it seems like when I was younger, there was not a lot of conversation about humanity waking up. And yet now it's easy to find that anywhere. My son is autistic and he's 8, and he loves talking about life after death. He asks me these questions all the time. So where is that coming from? Where is humanity turning up their own antenna, or is that the veil?
or is a little bit of both. It seems that a lot of people that I talk to on the show talk about ascension and moving out of, I believe it's the moving out of the Piscean age into the Aquarian age. And anyone who's invested in that is trying to raise their vibe and the overall vibe of the planet.
Yeah.
That sound accurate?
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is what my software company is, a healing software company where practitioners can offer whatever it is that they do for healing and people can gift it to one another. Because what I've observed is the gifter is the one that heals the fastest and the most. The person that is the giver or the server, they're the ones that ascend so much quicker than the people that are the seeker, that are trying to consume constantly of like, oh, I got to get to the next thing. I've got to read the next book and like all of these elements of healing. It's remarkable to me that the more we show up for each other, and the more we generously give our life force to the world, the more our frequency ascends.
That company of yours, that's Karma Well Health,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds pretty amazing. Anything else that we should know on this topic? And I'm guessing that there might be a part two here.
I would love it if there's a part two. I think what I would say is there's a beautiful pathway to your awakening that you can find on genekeys.com. It's a map of your consciousness. It's like a snapshot of your light body. And it's broken down in these ways that it's really triggering to look at your shadows and kind of go like, well, I'm not that person. But when you start to stay with that, you also have these giftings and you also have this capacity for these superpowers. It's really a magical way to live your life. And it's been the most, for me as a person that has a lot of empathic, challenging times in my life, this tool has really given me something that's bite-sizable to move through the world in a way that I have never felt so much peace and alignment as I do in this phase in my life.
To be continued. Sarah, thanks for coming on to the show today. Excellent, excellent stuff. How can our listeners find you online?
I have a website that is to work with me for coaching. It's goldenguidance.online. And you can also reach me through karmawellhealth.ca. I would invite anybody that's curious about building a path for themselves where we can build in some support for their nervous system and build in some other practitioners for their awakening path to reach out.
Excellent. I will put that in the show notes and the transcript as well. You've been listening to Closer to Venus. I'm Johnny Burke. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing. For more info, go to closertovenus.com. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.